Today's podcast is brought to you by the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. BOGO is back for 1 week and ends on Sunday, April 3rd. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACEBOGO.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. As Joe Biden is walking back anything, really, he said over the last week, I think he should just come out and make a quick statement and say, hey, guys, anything I said in the last couple days, scratch that. Let's have a redo. Forget I said that. Hold up the Men in Black machine and just press down and erase
everyone.
But don't
let Will Smith hold it.
No, don't. Actually, you know what? Don't
go. As you can see, I didn't get my English lessons.
I think we just give Will Smith a good 48 hours to cool off. That story, and if you're just tuning in and you're like, Grace, talk about Will. We did talk about it in the first hour a lot. So you can always check out the podcast. Go to gracecurlyshow.com. But it really is dominating the news right now. It's all over the New York Post. I've been watching Fox all day. They've gone back to it like six or seven times. Will Smith slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars for making a joke where he called Jada Pinkett Smith G.I. Jane. And to say it was an overreaction on the part of Smith's is downplaying it. I mean, talk about escalating quickly. It was not necessary. It wasn't even that bad of a joke. Imagine if Ricky Gervais had made a joke about Jada Pinkett Smith or Will Smith. Then that really would have got ugly.
That escalated quickly.
Remember the jokes that Ricky Gervais used to make about Mel Gibson? And Mel Gibson would get a little, you know, a little hot under the collar, but he didn't come out and punch anybody.
Remember when Ricky Gervais called them all pedophiles?
Yeah.
And pedophile enablers?
How did he not get slapped by anyone?
Where was Will on that?
No, but this one was over the line. You know, this one was just too mean. And so now there's, you know, there's all these theories going around. Was it fake? Was it staged? I do not think it was fake. Just from Chris Rock's reaction. And, you know, let's play it one time and then we'll go back to other news. But Chris Rock's reaction says to me, this is just all too real.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it. All right? that was a nice one. Okay. I'm out here. Uh-oh. Richard. Oh, wow. Wow. Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me.
Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth.
Wow, dude.
Yes.
It was a G.I. Jane joke.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
I'm going to, okay? Okay. That was the greatest night in the history of television. Okay. Okay. So we are here to give a documentary out, to give an Oscar out for...
Now, I have a couple of things to say, because I just keep thinking of things as we play this. One is, if that was fake, then give Will Smith another Oscar, because he deserves two that night. And two, if it was real, Chris Rock, I said it before, I'll say it again, what a professional that man is. I mean,
for the haters, floor seats at the Lakers. Met Ali, he told me I'm the greatest.
Ali's like, don't bring me into this. It really was, though. If Chris Rock, if that was all real and Chris Rock just kept the show rolling as a thespian, I have an immense amount of respect for that. The show must go on, and everyone in theater knows that the show must go on, but you don't expect Will Smith to come charging at you mid-monologue and smacking you across the face. But the adage stays true, Jared. It doesn't change what has to happen.
The show must go on.
All right, now, moving on from that, I feel like we've definitely covered this enough. No one can call in and say I didn't talk about Will Smith and Chris Rock. Let's move on to a little bit of Hunter Biden in the news. And when you're talking about Hunter, it makes sense that you're also going to be talking about journalism in the news.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change the reporting and they had to apologize and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get? News.
It has been 259 days since the network newscasts have said two words, Jared. Do you care to guess what these two words are? And I mean them together. You know, you can't separate them. There's two words that they have not said together in 259 days. Would you like to take a guess, sir? And if
so, where's Hunter? Where the hell are you, Hunter?
Hunter Biden, you win. I was going to offer you a prize, but since you already answered, no prize for you. They have not said Hunter Biden in 37 weeks. I'm talking about ABC, CBS, and NBC Morning and Evening News, according to newsbusters.com. They have not mentioned this. This network silence continued as the New York Times belatedly but still shockingly confirmed that Hunter Biden's laptop is real and not an example of Russian disinformation. I should add this in because I saw something the other day that, you know, when you see someone's point and it's such an obvious point, but you're like, I can't believe I never thought of that. I think it was in my subconscious, but I never said it out loud. I was watching Greg Gutfeld's show. And Kat Timpf was on, and I love Kat. I think she makes a lot of funny commentary. And she was saying how there was this letter that was signed by all of these CIA, FBI, you know, intelligence experts. Oh, am I still on the air? Oh, okay. It's my headphone. Hold on. Sorry about that, everyone. I was messing with my cord. It's signed by all these people, you know, John Brennan, Jim Clapper, all the best and the brightest. And so they all sign this. It's in the newspaper. 50 intelligence experts debunk this as Russian disinformation, yada, yada, yada. And Kat Timpf said the other day, she goes, you know who wasn't on that letter? Hunter Biden. Like, don't you think that if someone photoshopped photos of you in a tub naked with a crack pipe, that you would maybe try to deny it yourself?
Crack, you never go back.
That would be one of the times in your life where you thought, I need to throw my own two cents in. You know, people need to hear this from me. And instead, when he finally did talk about it, he was like, it could be me. That was really all the confirmation we needed, because most people, and I don't think as many people get involved in these situations as Joe thinks. Joe thinks it's like an everyday occurrence for people. But most people, if a laptop started being disseminated that had photos of them naked in bathing suits and smoking crack and tubs, doing all sorts of, you know, what did Joe say, mortifying themselves, most people would be pretty vocal about the fact that it wasn't them, that it was some sort of deep fake, that they had been bamboozled and their name was being smeared. But not Hunter. He was pretty chill about it, honestly. He was like, yeah, it could be, you know.
It could be mine. I smoked so much crack, I don't really know what I was doing half the time. Probably me, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. I've been known to like a laptop, so that is possibly true. And I did lose one a couple of years back, so maybe. And so not only is there no mention.
I probably smoked more Parmesan cheese than anyone.
Yeah. He's like, yeah. Could be. Was there any Parmesan cheese on the laptop? Maybe. That would help me decide. But then on top of that, so beyond these networks, these were the network newscasts, but CNN has mentioned this, and it wasn't on purpose, obviously. CNN is very excited about the Ginny Thomas text to Mark Meadows that show that she didn't think the election was on the level, like, you know, 60% of the country, and she had the audacity to use her phone and send text messages. It's really a nothing burger. There's a bunch of stories that show why, that this is really
That's
not going anywhere. But CNN is you know, thrilled about this. This is their new big story. This is, you know, the walls are closing in. Democracy dies in darkness. January 6th was the biggest deal of all time. And Brian Stelter was talking about it with his panel. Essie Cupp brought up an interesting point here, though. Cut 16.
But listen, you don't have to look far to find a very similar story that was really ignored by the media and, in fact, called false over and over and over again. And that's the Hunter Biden laptop story. Hunter Biden is a relative of a very famous person, the way Ginny Thomas is a relative of a very powerful, famous person. And I, you know, my Twitter feed is clogged with blue check reporters who are instantly believing that there is some tie between Ginny and Clarence. And, you know, the rush to dismiss Hunter as not a relevant story by lots of reporters, I think, is hard to ignore.
I wonder, Jane, do you have a reaction to that? Jane,
you
can you hear
me?
Us?
Sorry, yes. The sound is
As an investigative reporter, do you look at the Hunter Biden story and say, there's a lot more to dig into here?
I mean, the Hunter Biden story is Hunter Biden is being investigated by the Justice Department and by the IRS, as I understand it at this point. And so it seems that there's no shortage of legal interest in Hunter Biden. And yet we have not seen that Ginny Thomas has been called by the January 6th committee because there's been such sensitivity about not calling a Supreme Court justice's wife.
And Essie Cupp went on to explain that this kind of legal attention usually would coincide with some journalistic curiosity into the matter. But in this case, that is not happening. You know what I would translate that to? By the time she got it out, it was like Cat had her tongue. I would translate that to nothing to see here. Oh, we'll let the DOJ handle it. You know, they've got this covered. Nothing to see here. But there is more to see. And actually, I'm glad that Jane Mayer from The New Yorker, I'm glad she brought that up because there is a lot more to see with this laptop. There's a lot more information coming out. And the Daily Mail had some bombshells of their own that broke this weekend. I'm going to read them to you when we return. It's 844-500-4242. The Daily Mail reported that emails recovered from Hunter Biden's laptop showed he helped an infectious disease research company pursue projects in Ukraine. I'll have more on this story, and we'll take your calls, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show, and we will be right back.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. BOGO is back for 1 week and ends on Sunday, April 3rd. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code GRACEBOGO. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think the Chris Rock, Will Smith Oscar incident was staged?
See, now I'm confused because I'm getting such different takes on Twitter. But I'm sticking with my...
This whole thing was staged.
I'm sticking with my instincts here, and I'm saying no, I think it was real.
43% now say no, 57% believe yes, it was staged.
All right, I want to talk a little bit here about Hunter Biden. There's a couple of stories that came out over the weekend that you will not see on ABC or NBC or really even on CNN, but you'll hear about them at The Grace Curley Show. Now, this is from The Federalist, and a lot of the information that Margo Cleveland has is from The Daily Mail. And I don't normally read word for word on these things, but because it is a little bit complicated, I'm pretty much going to stick to the script. I'm not going to do much Joe Biden side stuff here because we all know how that can end up. Hunter Biden's laptops.
Oh, boy.
And don't forget, we always say laptop, the laptop from hell. The book by Miranda Devine is The Laptop from Hell. But it's easy to forget that there's two. You know, this man had such an obsession with chronicling his every move and his every love affair and his every piece of Parmesan cheese. It's like in a different time period, Jared, here's all I'm saying. Don't laugh. You don't know what I'm going to say yet. All I'm going to say is, in a different time period, if he didn't have access to these computers and these cell phones, and he had a pad and a pen, he could have been like our generation's Ernest Hemingway. You know, he could have really used his life experience to write some incredible books. I know we got his memoir, Beautiful Pieces, or whatever that was called. But I'm just saying, like, there is something here where he has this desire to capture everything for longevity's sake. Well, what is that?
Oh, he's such a citizen of the world and a contributor that his life needs to be chronicled. This is a story that needs to be told someday.
I don't know if I would call him a contributor. I think he's more of a taker. I get the sense that he's contributing more than anyone else is in his life, or he's benefiting more from contributions. All right. So on Friday, the Daily Mail reported that emails recovered from Hunter Biden's laptop showed he helped an infectious disease research company pursue projects in Ukraine. Those emails confirm portions of charges Russia made the previous day that an investment group run by the now president's son had funded a company conducting research at biological laboratories in Ukraine. While these developments add another scandal to the long list of Biden family dirty laundry, the more urgent concern for the country should be the continuing threat to our national security posed by a compromised President Biden and the possibility that Russia has access to the catalog of compromising material contained on Hunter's laptop. I'm going to skip around here just a little bit.
I believe the term is kompromat.
Kompromat. Emails from Hunter's abandoned laptop show he helped secure millions of dollars of funding for Metabiota, a Department of Defense contractor specializing in research on pandemic-causing diseases that could be used as bioweapons, the Daily Mail announced last week. The article continued, Biden also introduced Metabiota to an allegedly corrupt Ukrainian gas firm, Burisma, for a science project involving high biosecurity level labs in Ukraine. And although Metabiota is ostensibly a medical company, its vice president emailed Hunter in 2014, describing how they could assert Ukraine's cultural and economic independence from Russia, an unusual goal for a biotech firm. Now, I don't want to delve into conspiracy theories here. Far be it from me. I don't want to get kicked off Twitter, and I don't want to be accused of being on Team Putin. But if I were to be in the conspiracy theory sphere here, it would seem like these are a lot of words that would raise some red flags. No, Jared?
Yeah, just a little bit. I like to dabble in conspiracy theories. But
we know.
This, I don't know. And maybe I'm just connecting dots here. But I hear weaponized viruses, biolabs, Burisma, Hunter Biden. The wheels just kind of start turning that maybe the last, I don't know, 2 years all kind of seem to be related. Just saying.
Yeah.
The wheels start turning. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Jared, put your tinfoil hat away. You won't be allowed to talk about this for 2 more years. And then the New York Times will write a piece confirming it all. When we get back, I'll finish this report, talk a little bit more about Hunter Biden, Beau Biden's charity, and Rick Grenell on Twitter over the weekend. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone. We are digging into some of the latest Hunter Biden news, but I should give a shout out to Joe because he really did have quite the week. I mean, I knew it was going to be bad.
Come on, man.
I didn't think it could be worse than Kamala, though, because she was just cackling her way through it. You know, she was looking at the president of Poland to answer questions about gas prices in America. But then, you know what? You never want to underestimate Joe Biden's ability to shake things up.
Hold my prune juice.
Obama's quote was a little bit different than that. But yeah, you don't want to ever count him out because he got over there. You give him a slice of that jalapeno pizza pie. and you just let him kind of go. You wind him up and let him go. And the stuff that he was able to come out with, we actually have a montage here that I want to play. This is a montage. We'll call this Clean Up on Aisle Biden. I think that's what the montage is titled. This is cut three.
For God's sake, this man cannot remain power.
The White House trying to make clear in the aftermath, or making very clear in the aftermath, he was not, in fact, calling for regime change.
And you're going to see when you're there, and some of you have been there, you're going to see women, young people standing in the middle of front of a damn tank.
White House officials are telling us that President Biden does not intend to send U.S. troops into Ukraine.
If chemical weapons were used in Ukraine, would that trigger a military response from NATO?
It would trigger a response in kind.
The United States has no intention of using chemical weapons, period, under any circumstance.
Yikes. He should just bring those people on the road with him so they can issue the correction right afterwards. Like, why don't they just have someone on the team who stands next to Biden as moral support, and then when he's finished and he's walking off the podium, they'll walk on the podium and they'll say, all right, let's take it from the top. We're going to take it from the top, and I will be correcting all of those mistakes. I think that's an easier way to do this rather than, you know, freak out the people back at home at the White House who just want to go out and have a margarita. It's the weekend, damn it, and maybe do a little bit of kickboxing. And all they're doing all day is tweeting out, no, he didn't mean it. That's not what he meant. Oh, he was perfectly clear. They write in all caps locks, he was perfectly clear. He was so clear that I'm so confused. He's so clear. He's so crystal clear that I have no idea what his intentions are and what he's trying to say. And a lot of people, even on CNN, were criticizing Joe Biden's comment about regime change in Russia. This is Kimberly Dozier on CNN. Cut 30, please.
I don't think it's obvious that regime change is not the U.S. policy when he says something like that. It was indisciplined. It was a speech where the world was watching. And Biden handed a gift to Russian propagandists. It's been Putin's line all along that this isn't about Ukrainian sovereignty, that really this is the U.S. versus Russia, and the U.S. wants to change the government. Now they had their statement that for them proves that.
All right, Kimberly, let's not over exaggerate how bad of a gaffe this was. Okay, he specifically said it, and then his team said he didn't mean it. And he gave it during a speech where the world was watching. And then his team sent out a couple tweets to fix it. So let's not act like he didn't do the homework here and try to fix it after the fact, okay? He made the effort.
The world just doesn't understand when he talks. They're just too dumb.
Oh, well, that is a huge part of this, Jared, is that things are very confusing for us here. I think
they lack the enzyme or whatever.
Well, we lack the enzyme to be happy, but we also were so focused here on our three squares a day. Putting three squares on that table and spreading the faith and keeping the faith and staring at the ceiling fan, that sometimes we can't understand complicated matters like regime change and supply chain crisis. And obviously,
that is the Irish of it.
That, yeah. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. I might be Irish, but I'm not dumb. Okay. So don't get it twisted. But Biden saying this, he actually was asked about it today from reporters. And this is a very, very big deal that he advocated for this, you know, that Putin could no longer be in power. So because of it's such a big deal, he's going to spend a lot of time hashing this out with reporters. Cut 17, please.
Mr. President, do you want Putin removed? Mr. President, were you calling for regime change?
No.
No. I don't believe you.
Mr. President, do you know what year it is?
That would be a trickier one. Oh, and by the way, we're talking about all of these issues that are affecting Americans right now. The economy, we played a cut from MSNBC that says that 68% disapprove of Biden's handling of the economy. And of course, although all eyes are on Ukraine and Russia, here domestically, there are plenty of problems. Fear not, though. Sometimes on this show, when you're starting to feel down and you're starting to get nervous, there's a person in this White House that can cheer you up. Because when you know she's in charge, when you know she's the czar, she's the head of all these issues, you can take a deep breath and relax. And now it's time for one of my favorite segments. Where in the world is Kamala Harris?
Freedom!
Tell me where in the world is
Kamala Harris.
Tell me where in the world
tell me
want it back, can't you, babe? That's what a great time.
Well, she got the boot from the European peacemaking trips after she tried it twice and it didn't go as planned. Although I will say she came out with some incredibly Socratic quotes while she was on that journey. Now she's back. They're putting her back in America. She's traveling around. She's going on podcasts. She's talking about Build Back Better, you know, really important Veep kind of stuff. And she was on the Willie Moore podcast. And this is what she had to say about gas. Cut 21.
Well, first of all, we've been, you know, understanding that it is a real issue. What we have done, is we've actually released some of the reserve, the petroleum reserve, to bring down the cost of gas prices. And we are also dealing with the cost of gas as just part of the issue of the cost of living, right?
Yeah.
It's too expensive for too many people to get by during a day, much less to the end of the month.
If I had known...
Missed it by that much.
And I don't often have regrets about the career path I went into. But if I had known, I always heard of like running for president or being vice president or being one of these big titles, you know, being like a Secretary of State, Lloyd Austin. I'm sorry. Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken. I'm sorry. Foreign Minister, Anthony Blinken. Whatever Joe Biden's calling them today. All these people, all these head honchos. I always thought that so much went into it. You know, I thought you had to really know stuff. But if I knew that you could just go on podcasts and explain what's happening over and over again, the people already know is happening, I might have taken my shot at this. Because, Jared, think about it.
That's VP material.
Ask me the same kind of question, and I'll give you my VP answer.
So, Grace, Vice President Curley.
Madame Vice President.
Madame Vice President.
Thank you.
Everybody's concerned about gas prices.
Excuse me, can I say something?
Sure.
You didn't stand up when I came in the room. Can you please stand up while you ask me this question?
So what are you doing? What is the administration doing to help everyday Americans with gas prices, Madame Vice President Curley?
There are gas prices. They're high. People need gas. People need gas, and the gas prices are high. And gas prices are a part of other prices that are high for people. And people have those high prices, and it makes it hard for people when those prices are so high. Thank you so much for having me. Build Back Better. Thank you.
Stunning. Stunning and brave.
I'm just saying, I kind of nailed it.
You absolutely did.
So she just says gas is just part of the issue of the cost of living. Okay, so we're all on the same page pretty much. I think that's the first step, right? It's just getting all on the same page. That's nice. I want to finish a couple of these updates here from this piece in the Federalist about Hunter Biden, okay? If you missed the beginning of it, the Daily Mail reported that emails recovered from Hunter Biden's laptop show he helped an infectious disease research company pursue projects in Ukraine. Now, let's go to the second half of this. The most recent release came the day after Russia's State Duma speaker accused President Biden of being involved in the creation of biolaboratories in Ukraine, with Volodin claiming that an investment fund run by his son Hunter Biden's funded research and the implementation of the United States military biological program. Soon after, Volodin made the charge on Thursday. The Telegraph called Russia's accusation of Hunter Biden's funding Ukrainian biological laboratories as unsubstantiated claims designed to build on negative coverage about the president's son in right-wing U.S. media. But with Friday's release of previously undisclosed emails from Hunter Biden's laptop, Russia's claim, at least concerning Hunter Biden's connection to Ukrainian biological laboratories, appears accurate. While none of the emails released on Friday support Russia's claim that the Ukrainian labs were used to research or create bioweapons, propaganda need only hold a sliver of truth to serve its purpose. And the cache of emails contained on Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop provides Putin and his comrades enough evidence to seemingly confirm the Russian government's earlier claim that Hunter Biden helped implement a bioweapon program in Ukraine. This false framing also provides Russia ammunition to justify its attack on its neighbors to the West. Russia's ability to point to the Hunter Biden emails as confirmation of its claims of a biolab in Ukraine raises a serious question with huge national security implications. How did Russia know the day before the Daily Mail's exclusive that the Hunter Biden investment fund, Rosemont Seneca, had invested in Metabiota and been involved in Metabiota's operations in Ukraine. The timing of events last week suggests Russia has access to the same emails as the Daily Mail, or that Vladimir Putin's agents might well have obtained access to Hunter Biden's first laptop, the one the president's son believed Russians had stolen in 2018. Remember, he had that whole conversation where he said he thought that three men came in and stole his laptop? He was explaining that to the prostitute that he was with. In either case, the Biden family's corruption documented on the laptops has gone from a potential national security risk to a real one, and in the midst of a war launched by Russia on a country bordering NATO allies. I know it's a little tough to follow there, but the point is like this guy, this drug addict, was so entrenched with all of these foreign shady businesses that now when the bleep is hitting the fan and they have this information, and it's not confirmed whether they have the laptop, but if you're looking at this, it's you could make the jump that maybe they do. It puts not just Joe in a compromising situation, it puts the entire United States in a compromising situation. And that's why they were warned so many times when Joe Biden was vice president. You know, this could be a liability. This could have the appearance of a conflict of interest. That's code for we really don't want you to do this because there's a conflict of interest. But the way they frame it to someone like Joe, who is thick and who doesn't listen, is this could have the appearance of a conflict of interest. So he doesn't lose his temper and get all upset. But he didn't even care. He just said, no, they told him twice, three times. Nope, didn't care. And now we're seeing what happens when all of these conflicts of interest are allowed to just breed. Now you have foreign powers who have real dirt on you and your son, and you're compromised. And then just to add another layer to this cake of corruption, the president also is in cognitive decline. So I'm thinking that if it's China or if it's Russia, they're looking at him and going, we've got this. It's like taking candy from a baby. And by the way, just one other thing here. Bo Biden charity takes in millions, spends fraction on helping children. This is from the New York Post on Sunday. The Delaware-based charity, which was started in honor of President Biden's late son, got an infusion of $1.8 million from the Biden Foundation before that group shut down in 2020. The Bo Biden charity also took in $225,000 from entities tied to a top political donor and bundler to President Biden. Despite the $2 million plus windfall, the organization put only $544,961 in 2020 toward its stated purpose of protecting children from abuse, according to tax filings. The group spent $932,865 in 2020, and a large portion went to salaries of Biden's cronies who had executive positions with the nonprofit organization. And then we add in the fact, which Peter Schweitzer pointed out, that Hunter and Joe have intermingled finances. So again, that's just another reason to have such faith in the Biden crime family.
I will wait for the ProPublica expose of the Bo Biden Foundation like they did to St. Jude.
Yeah, well, you'll be waiting a couple of years, I think, sir. But you're patient, Jared. You've been patient with all this
very
information.
Patient,
844-500-4242.
Very patient birthing person.
We'll be right back with Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley is your perfect lunch date.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
No soup for you!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Yo, home to Bel Air!
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Today's car crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Howie Carr, thank you so much for joining the program.
Thanks for having me, Grace.
Well, Howie, no shortage of news today. It took a little celebrity turn, which I enjoyed. I don't know if you'll be as excited about it as I was.
Yeah, I'm not that all excited, but we'll talk about it nonetheless. It is the big story of the day, I guess, in a way, at least until Biden, you know, just comes out and says something else about how he wants to tax trillionaires. He's coming out in a little while, you know, Grace.
Yes, and that is he also wants to tax unrealized gains. Howie, what do you make of that?
Exponentially.
I think they're going to be permanently unrealized if he tries to tax them.
You think it's only going to apply to billionaires and millionaires, or you think this is
trillionaires? Trillionaires. Remember, he's come out against trillionaires in the past as well. You know.
Well, but it's so evolving. You know, someone who's a trillionaire today might be a billionaire tomorrow.
It is the way inflation is going. He could be going after gazillionaires by a couple of years from now.
He always says, you know, I'm a capitalist. I don't care if someone makes some money, but you gotta pay.
He's a crony capitalist, I think, is the way to put it.
Yes, I would agree with that. Howie, what else do you have planned for your show today?
Well, we're going to do our Thanks Brandon segment, as always, now on in the final hour of the show today. And I guess we'll be doing a hate mail Monday if you've got the stuff all together.
I do, Howie. We both had columns up this weekend, and they were well-received, I guess you could say. I really just quoted Joe Biden in my column. I really just wrote about his European travels and how everywhere he went, he said something, and then his team had to walk it back. But it's funny, Howie, because you always say when the haters get mad when we quote Joe Biden. Did you see over the weekend Tom Nichols got mad at CNN? It was hysterical. Yeah. CNN had a headline that was just a quote from Joe Biden, and the quote was the infamous now quote about Putin and needing the regime change. And they put up the quote from Joe Biden that he said, this man cannot remain in power. And Tom Nichols was offended. He said
it was irresponsible.
It was irresponsible to
Who
quote.
Who is Tom Nichols, by the way?
He's like a blue check.
I ask myself this question over and over again when they say so-and-so said something, and as if I'm supposed to know who they are.
He's like a big guy on Twitter. He gets in fights with Stephen Miller a lot, and Stephen Miller always asks him whether or not he considers Taiwan a country. It goes back and forth. Round and round we go.
Well, I mean, this is even a bigger question, I think. Is it irresponsible to quote someone with their own words? I mean, I guess you could say that with me with Weekend at Brandon, you know, or which I told you this when you said you were going to write this weekend. More people are getting into this now of actually quoting Joe Biden's exact words.
Yeah,
this
I just
is
don't
a dangerous
think,
trend for the Biden administration.
I just don't
it?
Think many people enjoy it as much as you do. Howie Carr is coming up next. He's got a great show planned. I'll be back tomorrow. It's Grace Curley Show.